If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much.
I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank everyone for waking up this morning. I'm in Philadelphia, and I'm going to tell you, all I can see is white snow all around me. The East Coast was blasted the last week with two different storms. And then Monday coming up, we're supposed to get some more snow. But we're still going to have a great show today, and we're talking about a serious issue, teen dating violence. This month, February, is not only Black History Month, it's not only Valentine's Day, but it's unfortunately, and I say it that way, unfortunately, Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. I'm a parent, I have a teen, so this is a very important issue for me. And I think that I mentioned to one of the guests earlier, it's hard to have a healthy relationship even when you're not a teen. But I think if you have a good foundation when you grow older, it'll be easier. I have some wonderful guests this morning from a variety of places around the country. First, I'd like to talk about Dr. Beverly Black. She's a professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Texas in Arlington. And she is an author of the book Programs to Reduce Teen Dating Violence and Sexual Assault, Perspectives on What Works. She worked with Dr. Arlene Weiss, who's an associate professor of the School of Social Work at Wayne State University. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
I'd also like to introduce Christina Alex. She's a social worker, and she's the director of Start Strong Bronx program. It's one of 11 programs across the country funded by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it's to help promote healthy relationships among middle school students and adults who influence them. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Joy.
I think we also have some other guests just called in. I see some hands raised in the switchboard. Let me check here. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Michaela Jennings from Tucson.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. This is one of our DoSomething.org grant winners. Thank you for joining the call.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
Let me see. I think there's another caller here. Let me see. Good morning. Oh, maybe they can't hear us. If you are one of the guests and you're on the switchboard, I see several callers, please press the number 1 on your keypad. That'll let me know you're interested in joining the call. But why don't you tell us about the program that you started over in Arizona?
Well, I applied for a Do Something grant to go talk to high schoolers about dating abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then have them write their own messages to victims of abuse that'll go out throughout town in Tucson.
Now, I was reading about your program. Again, this is Michaela Jennings. She is a grant winner, DoSomething.org, and Liz Claiborne, Fight Teen Dating Abuse grant winner. You mentioned a story about your sister. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Oh, no, not at all. Well, that was my first experience with dating abuse, was being my sister in an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we got a caller.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, I can still hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. But, so she was in an abusive relationship. Her boyfriend was really physically abusive as well as emotionally abusive. And it was inspiring to see her get out of that relationship to take care of herself.
And how old are you?
I am 19.
You're 19, and you started the program a couple years ago or a year ago?
Actually, just about 6 months ago. It's new.
Oh, 6 months ago. Okay. So what was your response from your peers when you decided to do this? Were they receptive to you?
Yeah, they were pretty supportive.
That's good. So I want to talk to Dr. Black and Dr. Weiss. On your book, you interviewed about 52 different programs across the country trying to do what Mikhail is doing as a teen. And what were some of the most successful programs you found, Dr. Black?
Well, we would like to talk about some of the successful aspects or important aspects of programs. And I'm sure the participants would, just from their experience, understand this, that multi-session programs are critical. Unfortunately, many programs are only one time because that's all the time or the funding they have. But we certainly suggest that to be successful, a program needs to have multi-sessions. And that gives teens time to practice the new behaviors that they're trying to learn in the program rather than just hear information.
So like a four to six week type of program, or 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, 6 to 8, longer the better. You know, 10 to 12 is what I would suggest as a minimum. We also suggest combining both same-gender and mixed-gender groups. Many programs have to do same-gender, or actually most programs are mixed-gender. They have the boys and girls together. And we found that programs that appear most successful have a combination of having the boys and girls together and then also separating them.
Yeah, I think sometimes maybe girls and boys, you know, at that age, they don't want to openly talk about certain issues. I mean, these are very, when you talk about dating and relationships, I told you I have a teen, and I talk to her mostly about the emotional aspects of relationships and the push and pull and things. And sometimes kids don't want to talk about that around the other sex, you know?
Right.
So I think
you find that some of them, especially middle school kids, seem to really like and enjoy being with the other gender, and it may be just some of the jostling that they do at that age.
Mm-hmm.
It seems best. And Arlene, you?
Arlene, Dr. Weiss, you want to talk about that program I was mentioning earlier about the egg that was used, the innovative program with the egg and the toilet paper roll?
Absolutely. Well, generally, I think that programs that are interactive and involve some kind of discussion or some role play or something that teens can get up and do are the more successful, because they do spend a lot of their day being lectured at. So one program told us about an exercise they have where they give the kids a toilet paper roll and they have them balance a raw egg on top of it, and then they have strings saying the different aspects of a healthy relationship, like the ability to discuss issues, respect for each other, personal space and boundaries, you know, different aspects of a healthy relationship. And they have them walk around with these strings attached to this roll that's balancing a raw egg. And each time they lose one aspect of a healthy relationship, they have to drop the string. So then it becomes very suspenseful to see how long can this raw egg be balanced
right,
on a toilet
right.
paper roll.
Oh, my
and
God.
It sounds like it's very, very engaging, and that's the kind of thing that really helps kids think about what is needed to conduct a healthy relationship, because a lot of kids really don't know what a healthy relationship is like.
Exactly. I mean, I was mentioning earlier, I mean, even as an adult, I mean, did somebody sit down and say, this is what a healthy relationship is?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have such a high divorce rate, and we have, unfortunately, a high rate of domestic violence. And according to the National Center for Victims of Crime, 1 in 5 high school girls report being abused by a boyfriend. 40% of teenage girls aged 14 to 17 report knowing someone their age who has been hit or beaten by a boyfriend. 33% of teenage girls report experiencing physical violence at the hands of a dating partner. Christina Alex, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Are you still there with us?
Yes.
you're doing some great things over there in the Bronx. Why don't you tell the listeners about your program, Start Strong Bronx?
Well, Start Strong Bronx is one of 11 sites that are part of a groundbreaking initiative that focuses on how to build healthy relationships. And we are targeting 11 to 14-year-olds and all the adults and all the older teens that influence them. And I'm really happy to hear from Dr. Black and Dr. Weiss these what their recommendations are, because a lot of them are being implemented in our programs. For instance,
so are you doing multi-sessions over a long period of time?
We are all the sites that were given a choice of two evidence-based curricula. The one that I chose is fourth R, which stands for Reading, Writing, Arithmetic, Relationships. And it's a 21-session curriculum on healthy relationships, but it also covers anything from bullying to the effect of substance abuse on dating and relationships and various other topics. So it's really comprehensive. The other thing I love about it is that we brought down the people that developed it. Ray Hughes came down and trained the teachers in four of our middle schools to deliver the program so that it just will continue. And it's not dependent on us, coming into the schools. It's just something that's ongoing. And then we can now bring it into other schools in the coming years of our program, because this is a four-year initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one piece of what we're doing. It's actually, just to back up a bit, it's the largest teen and dating violence prevention initiative ever funded, with $18 million by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Blue Shield of California Foundation.
Well, that's the wonderful aspect of it, because Dr. Weiss and Dr. Black talk about in their book the problem with funding for these programs, and that's one of the reasons that they're not extended. It may be one or two sessions, and also the opportunity to research what's being effective. They don't have money, programs that they were researching, Dr. Weiss and Dr. Black. They just didn't have the money to really evaluate what we're doing. Is it effective or not? I want to talk to Michaela. Michaela, you're listening to all these adults talk about this issue. Are some of their suggestions, do you think, helpful for teens? Do you think teens will be receptive to multi-sessions and coming to more than one thing?
Definitely. I think it's important to just address the issue, because I think a lot of the time dating abuse just isn't talked about. So, how is a teenager supposed to decide what a healthy relationship is if nobody ever addresses an unhealthy one?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Black, why don't we define exactly what is a healthy relationship? What should that look like?
Well, I think, as we mentioned previously, the word respect comes in consistently, is that, I think this simple saying of treat other people as you would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to assert your needs and your wants and respect the other person when they assert what they need and want in a relationship. And, of course, it's honoring the needs and wants of the other person and learning about yourself, of what to do when you become angry and hurt and humiliated in a relationship, and what are the other ways to deal with that versus lashing out in violence.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Weiss, how do you know that someone's going to be an abuser to you? Are there some signs when you first start dating? How would you know, okay, this person, I need to step away from them, I need to just break communication?
I think when you have a partner that's excessively concerned with power and control, that's a warning sign, like someone that always wants to know exactly where you are or who's telling you how to dress. Those are warning signs. And I think also someone that doesn't respect your opinion, I think another sort of buzzword along with respect might be equality, so that decisions should be made together in a relationship, even about things like where you're going to go or how you're going to spend your time.
Mm-hmm. Christina, you mentioned that you work with the parents. Are parents surprised to find out that maybe their teen has been involved in some kind of dating abuse or violence? And also, let's mention that when we talk about violence, it's not just physical. People can be psychologically abused. And as Dr. Weiss has mentioned, just tracking and controlling your behavior, the person may never have hit you, but that control, I think, is a really key word. But Christina, what are your response from parents?
Well, actually, parents are the toughest group for us to reach, and we're always looking for new ways to do that. We've come up with, we've decided to do programs with their kids that allow the students to do some sort of performance at the end, so the parents can come and see their children doing something positive, and I think that will bring them in. But we found through research through our programs, that parents wanted to learn about these topics from their pediatrician, which was really interesting. And since we are actually based in a pediatric department of Bronx Lebanon Hospital Center, it's a community hospital in the South Bronx, which is headed by Dr. Ram Kiram, and he's a big supporter of this issue. So we're taking this opportunity to develop a program that will train the residents and the physicians to then raise these issues with parents, because, you know, they all come in with their children for visits, and we're trying to establish like an official 11 or 12 year old visit where the parents will, you know, kind of learn how to talk about these issues, you know, but hopefully before they happen with their kids. And we want to spread this to other sites. We think this could be some sort of national model. But beyond that,
let me mention your website also. If you're more interested in, and you're in the Bronx area, startstrongbronx.org is Christina Alex's website. Also, if you're a teen out there and you're listening to the program and you think you have a great idea that might help somebody, it may not be teen dating violence. It could be the environment. It could be housing, a variety of things. DoSomething.org is a great site you should check out, DoSomething.org. Also, check out Liz Claiborne's website, loveisnotabuse.com, loveisnotabuse.com. I'm sorry, Christina, go ahead.
Well, another project, we have a lot of teen involvement in our program, and we're really thrilled about that because we weren't sure how that was going to go as far as recruiting them. But since last June, we've had a really solid group of students who are, a lot of them are very artistic. And so we've basically taught them different skills, art-based skills, and let them develop outreach materials to the middle school students. And one of their first projects was a manga comic book, because they're all into manga.
Yeah.
And, and so we just kind of went with what they love. And a lot of it was really new to me and our program coordinator, Alexandra Smith. We were both kind of like, what is this? But it's been really fun to learn.
Let me ask Dr. Black. Dr. Black, do you think getting kids in middle school is better, or wait till high school? At what point do we bring the conversation to the children?
Well, definitely middle school, and I would probably even advocate younger than middle school. I think you obviously have to adjust the communication and the content of the program to the age level, but it would be beneficial to start very early on about talking about healthy relationships and treating people with respect. And many of those programs are done, they're just not called dating violence prevention programs. They're called bullying prevention or healthy type relationships. But I don't think you can start too early on teaching people how to respect each other.
Dr. Weiss, what would you say to a young woman who's in a relationship that may be abusive? And what type of woman or man gets into an abusive relationship? Does this have something to do with their upbringing, their parents, the environment that they live in?
I'm sorry to say that I think that all teenagers are probably at risk. I don't think we really have a clear profile that I would want to talk about, because I think that no teenager should feel that they're immune to this risk. I would encourage a person that thinks they're being victimized by teen dating violence, even possibly, to try to talk to a knowledgeable adult. Unfortunately, teens usually talk to their friends who may have the very best of intentions but may not know that much about what a healthy relationship is or how to respond to the signs of danger. So I think talking to an adult is really a good idea.
Well, I want to mention that there's a hotline you can call if you're listening. Again, this is part of the Liz Claiborne initiative, and it's 1-866-331-9474. Again, if you are in a relationship that you think is abusive, even just in the slightest, it may not be physical. Again, it can be psychological, and the key word there is control monitoring, like Dr. Weiss said. Where are you going, what you're wearing, where are you going as a couple. Again, 1-866-331-9474. Michaela, when you mentioned, you said your teens and your Arizona, how many kids do you think are being affected by this? Do you think a lot of kids in your high school are being affected, or a small number?
I'm really not sure. I think that any number is too many.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, you know, I have a few friends, I can think of right offhand, who have been in abusive relationships.
And what did they look like? I mean, what did they talk to you about? What was happening?
They didn't really want to talk about it much, but one of my friends was in an emotionally abusive relationship where the boyfriend was very controlling and very jealous. And I experienced that as well. I had a very jealous, controlling boyfriend.
And so how did you decide to get out? Is that because of what happened to your sister? You decided to, you know, I can't go through the same thing?
Yeah, it took me a while to realize that it was abuse. And then once I did, I found my sister to be a very large inspiration for respecting myself and getting out of that situation.
Do you see yourself in the future starting other programs to help teen dating violence or domestic violence issues?
Quite possibly. I would like to keep working with people to learn about dating violence and taking care of themselves.
Again, I want to mention some of the programs out there. LoveIsNotAbuse.com, that's the Liz Claiborne, DoSomething.org. Also, Start Strong Bronx program if you're interested and you're in the Bronx area. Dr. Black, I know Dr. Weiss didn't want to put a profile on it, but do you think that children who are raised in a violent environment, who are dealing with domestic violence on the home front, are more susceptible because that's what they see as a quote-unquote, you know, love relationship?
Well, I think we do certainly have some risk factors associated with dating violence, and exposure to violence in the home is a risk factor. But that doesn't say it's going to cause one to be in a dating violence. So we think of them, some of those issues around profile related, as risk factors. But as Dr. Weiss said, all people, all teens are certainly susceptible to being in a relationship with violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to mention there's phone numbers and people out there to help. The Dating Violence Resource Center, that's by the National Center for Victims of Crime. Their website is www.ncvc.org, and their phone number is 202-467-8700. Again, 202-467-8700. Their definition of what dating violence is it's controlling, abusive, and aggressive behavior in a romantic relationship. It occurs in both heterosexual and homosexual relationships and can include verbal, emotional, physical, or sexual abuse, or a combination of all of these. Christina, Alex, what do you see most in your program, kids coming in? Do they have the verbal? Is it the physical? Is it the sexual? What do you see the most of?
Well, I think with the middle school students, they can mostly relate with friendships and kind of bullying and different conflicts with their friendships at this point. I mean, it also varies. I mean, some middle school kids are very, you know, are very into dating and are having these kinds of situations, and some of them are just not there yet. And so to try to appeal to everyone, I know they can relate more to kind of bullying and sort of being left out and sort of things, situations like that, and different conflicts. So we try to sort of give them tools to deal with those situations. We have a handout called Building Blocks of Communication, and, you know, it's trust and support and communication. And we talk about the qualities and then what are the behaviors and the fact that you can have an argument with somebody and you can still like and respect them while you're disagreeing. And then that's part of a relationship, you know, and kind of
right.
What's
agree
realistic.
To disagree.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like what's realistic about that. And I think the whole field seems to have turned a corner. I've been working on domestic violence for almost 10 years now, and it seems like a lot of the focus now is on healthy relationships and what to do and what to look for rather than just what to avoid. And I think kids are really responding to that, and I think that also helps parents and other professionals want to talk about it more, because I think the topic scares a lot of people. They don't want to think that their kids are involved in that. They don't even want to bring it up in case it makes them get involved in that. And we
exactly.
have our kids. Yeah, and our teens.
It's the birds and the bees conversation. You know, don't talk about it, then they won't do it. But I think my parents were very open with me when I was a young age and talking about, you know, sexual behavior and, you know, how to make a baby and relationships and things. So, and contraceptive. So I think for me, I'm on the end of talk to the kids as soon as possible, as early as possible. I think one of the doctors mentioned, you know, that middle school or even earlier is better to get into this conversation about how to have a healthy relationship. I mean, because we're social beings and we're going to be interacting with people for the rest of our lives, and whether it's an intimate relationship or just a friendship, you still need to learn how to interact with people. I think I'm going to check to see if this is one of the other callers. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
I just wanted to jump in and say something. This
yeah.
is Beverly
sure.
Black.
Yeah.
That we found in some of our research, Dr. Weiss and I, is that even though we certainly encourage children to go to their parents and adults, that sometimes adults don't know how to respond to adolescents. And I'm glad to hear that they parents are so open, and we have found this also, that parents are very open to learning, but they really need some education and assistance in learning how to respond to their youth, because sometimes they say things that are not helpful and respond in an unhelpful way.
What are some of the things that they should say? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the loveisrespect.org website, what I love about it is that it has this live chat where the teens can talk to, I think, teens that are trained in these issues. And if they're not ready to maybe get help yet or they want to know more, they can sort of do some investigation without maybe bringing it up yet to their parents or mm-hmm. someone. They can get help in various ways. And I think we found that they often do go to their fellow teens. And so the more we can equip the teens to, and which is why Michaela's program is so wonderful. And a lot of these programs that Dr. Weiss and Black have researched, they train young people to talk to each other and be educated and give each other the resources, because there are services out there, and there's, you know, so it's great to equip the teens to just, if they're going to talk to each other anyway, why not?
Yeah, well, that's what they talk about, in their book. Yeah, definitely empowering the teens. And one of the key things I think they mention in the book is really training the facilitators properly. And again, I think that goes with how to, maybe even training parents. I think not just focusing on the teens, because the kids have to go back home. And if they do want to talk about something that's going on in their life and the parents don't know anything about this issue, or they don't feel comfortable, I think it's important that not only they have funding for programs that totally are directed toward teens or middle school, but also directed toward parents. One of the programs that I think the Liz Claiborne group does, they do have a group of parents. It's called MADE, and you can find out about that on loveisnotabuse.com. And if you're a parent and you're interested in joining this fight to stop this teen dating violence or become an intervention, that's the website you should check out, loveisnotabuse.com. Again, dosomething.org is another great website for teens, people making a difference across the country and want to get some help. And startstrongbronx.org is a wonderful program that Christina Alex is heading. Dr. Weiss, what are some closing words you might have for parents out there in dealing with this issue?
Well, I think it is a good idea to look into some of the great websites that are available, because it can be really tough when you know your child is hurting or at risk. It's tough sometimes to not want to also exercise power and control and tell them they just have to stop dating that person, which is the kind of thing that will make them less communicative. So it really is important to listen to the teen and explore together what a safety plan would be, rather than making a unilateral decision about what the child should do.
Michaela, we're going to be closing soon. Do you have any closing words for your, teens? Or you're almost a young adult now, 19, but what would you say to a young person now and who's in a relationship?
I would just want to say that if you think you are in an abusive relationship, you're not alone and that you should seek help.
Yeah. Now, there's a teen dating violence. Again, the hotline number, this is by Liz Claiborne, 1-866-331-9474. Again, 1-866-331-9474. I want to thank all of you for coming out this morning and waking up early and being on the program. I think it's a wonderful thing all of you are doing. Please continue your work, and I'm sure we'll talk again in the future. Thank you, Dr. Black, Dr. Weiss, Christina, and Michaela for joining the conversation this morning.
Thank you
for having us.
Yes, thanks for doing the show.
Oh, no problem. Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too.
Thank you. Okay.
Hey guys, all the listeners out there, you can listen to the program. I'm having a show again at 11:30 with young entrepreneur Nehemiah Davis. So if you want to stay on, you can continue to listen to that interview. And next week we're going to be talking about African American women and eating disorders. So please check in next Saturday on the 20th at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can follow me on Twitter, www.twitter.com/joykeys. And also become a fan on Facebook. Just look up the show's name on Facebook. Everybody have a wonderful Saturday, and I'll see you in a couple minutes.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much.
I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.